is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Wednesday, the 23rd of January, 2019, and my name's Patrick Smith. Hello, everybody. Not the weekend that we really wanted from the Belfast Giants. They travelled to Cardiff to take on the reigning champions and unfortunately returned empty-handed. There's plenty to talk about regards to those games, and this is the first sort of podcast back since the Continental Cup. And what I want to do before I introduce the boys, just a quick thank you to everybody. We got a lot of really good feedback to this sort of different sort of podcast that we did last week, and a bit of the music and the not live recording, but you know what I mean, the sort of round table stuff that we did at the Continental Cup. Some really good feedback back, and I want to just say a big thank you to everybody who did that. Listen, let's batter on. And Mr. David McGimsey, how are you doing?
Oh, Paddy, it's been quite it's been quite a 10 days or so, hasn't it? After the Continental Cup, and you, as you described there, the recordings we did, I thought they might be a, you know, quite a cathartic experience, but not really. It didn't purge me of anything. It was hard going. It was a real emotional time afterwards, and this weekend it didn't really get much better.
Tough weekend. Mr. Kitchen, you travelled to Cardiff?
I was over for the Saturday, but workload, had to get back on a Sunday afternoon, so I missed the game in Cardiff, but I watched it live and on the webcast. So, yeah, definitely a tough weekend for us, but I'm sure we're going to talk about it now anyway.
We are. Later in the show, we'll be hearing from Dustin Johnner, Barry McKenzie and Todd Didion. But as Sis says, let's start with those two games at the Viola Arena, or Ice Arena Wales, in Cardiff against the Cardiff Devils, as I normally do with a doubleheader like this. I will run you through all the statistics. Saturday night, 7 p.m, 4-2 win for the Cardiff Devils. Your goal scorers, well, the scoring was opened by Colin Shields after 9 minutes, but the Devils hit back with three over the course of the next three periods. Mike Hedden on 16 minutes. Leon Omer, 2 minutes into the second, made a 2-1. Gleeson Fournier made a 3-1 in the third. And despite Darcy Murphy giving the Giants hope and made a 3-2, with just over a minute to go into the empty net, Sean Bentivoglio made it 4-2. In goals, Ben Bounds, 27 saves off 29 shots. Tyler Bescarwani, 30 saves off 33 shots. Your referees were Tom Perring and Andrew Dalton. And then we go on to Sunday, and it wasn't any better for the Giants. In fact, it was a worse scoreline. 5-2 to the Cardiff Devils. And Cardiff, well, they opened with three very quick goals in the space of about 72 seconds. 12:50, Mark Richardson scores. 12:59, Matt Pope scores. And 14:01, Bryce Reddick makes it 3-0. Into the second period, and two power play goals for the Belfast Giants. Kyle Bond and Patrick Dwyer within the first 5-6 minutes made it 3-2. And once again, the Giants had hope. And that hope, unfortunately, was extinguished in the third period. Evan Mosey made it 4-2, and then on the power play, Joey Martin made it 5-2 to the Cardiff Devils, and they took all 4 points from the weekend. Ben Bounds in nets, 23 saves off 25 shots. Tyler Bescarwani, 26 saves off 31 shots. And your referees, once again, were Tom Perring and Andrew Dalton. Davey, I'll start with you on this, and you can take whichever way you want. You can take the whole weekend as a whole if you like. However, the Giants came into this, okay, awful loss in the Continental Cup against Ireland, but with a lot of, what's the word, confidence on the way that they played, and a lot of confidence in the fan base as well, that we had showed how strong a side we were. Unfortunately, this weekend, with up against Cardiff, it just didn't click.
Pretty fair assessment, yeah. I think that for the first probably 15 minutes of the first period of the Saturday night game, we were pretty good. We'd obviously taken the lead through Colin Shields' goal, and we'd looked good. We'd got a little bit in on Bounds. And you know, I think the story of the whole game was how well Cardiff boxed us out and kept us perimeter. They just didn't let us get in and get good shots, grade A scoring chances on Ben Bounds. We hardly had one all weekend despite coming up with a few goals. Ultimately, Saturday night was a one-goal game. Okay, they filled the empty netter. But we took, and I think Adam Keith maybe mentions it in his interview after the game, you know, we took the middle period off completely. We didn't come out of the locker room. We didn't challenge. We lost board battles. We lost. We gave up, you know, we gave up easy goals. And yeah, and then that sort of ran into the third period as well. You know, they got out to a quick start in the third period, got that third goal. And then we were just chasing, you know. I stood up there with Simon, and yeah, you know, we also took poor penalties at key times, and they have a very, very good special teams unit. They keep you pinned back in your own zone. Look, our penalty kill's not a bad unit either, but I just think the story of Saturday night was that one period where you can't, you know, maybe even 25 minutes, you know, you can't play 35 minutes and expect to win against the Cardiff Devils.
Says on that Saturday, Ben Bounds got the man of the match. And as Davey says, you know, they were boxing us out, and Bounds is going to save them when he sees them.
Bounds, you know, any goalie in his league, Paddy, should be able to save the puck when he sees it. The thing for Saturday for me, 10 minutes, we were the far better team. Davies just touched on, we took three penalties in the first period. They got a power play goal. They get them back into it, and the second period was just non-existent for us. The third, we did try and push back, and again, you know, you're 5-on-5, they were quite decent. I honestly don't think Ben Bounds is the BO. I don't think he's the goalie he was last year. I don't think he was the goalie he was the year before. The one thing he does have in front of him, as soon as he gets a rebound out, they're clearing it, and we're not getting the blue paint. I thought we looked very, very tired on Saturday and Sunday. I thought that, you know, you talk about secondary scoring. Adam changed the lines around a wee bit to put Pat Dwyer in between Riley and Murphy. And that seemed to get, you know, a bit of a spark. But as soon as it took Dwyer out of that line of Bond and started with Lewis Hook, and then we changed it around a wee bit, chopping and changing lines just to try and get a bit of firepower or a bit of a spark somewhere. We didn't have it. All weekend, we did not have it. Yes, we had chances. If you only score two goals in this league, in a game, you're going to lose more than you win. Why we've lost the spark, is it because of tiredness? Yeah, it could be the boys are, you know, very lethargic. You know, they played a lot of games in a short space of time. But all the other teams are playing games as well. We played, you know, six extra games of the Continental Cup. That's 2-3-3s, and it takes its toll. You know, missing Chris Higgins after he coming in and got a pretty good start to the Continental Cup 10 days ago. Obviously, you know, he had to back to North America for personal business, and it was really disappointing because the first 10 minutes, Davey and I were standing. Actually, do you know what? Davey was in late.
Yeah,
and up until he arrived, it's his fault. up until he arrived, we were absolutely brilliant. I mean, honestly, I don't think anybody in there could have complained that we were two or three up. We started really, really well on Saturday. But Cardiff are a good team. That's not taken away from them. They're sitting top of the league. They're 9 points clear. You know, yes, it's disappointing losing the two games and the 4 points over the weekend. It's more disappointing that we know that we've got firepower in that locker room. We know that we've got goals from all angles. But it didn't turn up at the weekend, and that's the bit. I seen Adam's face on Saturday night after the game. He was really, really disappointed. Sunday
says just before we go on to Sunday, you know, I have the shot charts here in front of me, and thanks to Keelan Daly for getting them. And they're just basically a big V on all three periods. We're shooting from tops of the circle down to the dots. We have nothing in the blue paint, nothing in the slot there at all. You know, we're not going for those. Talk about secondary scoring, but you got to be in the blue paint. I know Cardiff Devils are what you're talking about. You know, they're clearing up Bounds' rebounds, but we talked about it on Saturday night. How many shots hit him straight in the guts?
You know, is that the reason?
Just to interrupt, because it's
something says there as well that it had my mind going, is the fact that, you know, since you said you don't think Ben Bounds isn't the goalie was last season, and the goalie was last season. There was rumours of him going to Europe this season, you know, a championship winner. And as Davey says, you know, that V and not getting into the blue paint, is that how you get around Ben Bounds? Is that the reason we weren't able to score more? We weren't able to get into those dirty areas?
Well, that's certainly part of the reason. When you don't go to the blue paint, you don't get rewarded. As Davey said, you're shooting from angles. You're not getting in and getting a second rebound, because that's one thing that Cardiff are really good at, just clearing the puck. They, and this is going to sound really weird because technically they are 9 points ahead of us, They are not a 9-point clear team better than us. Absolutely not.
I agree with that.
We've already played them. We've played them four times this year. We've beat them twice, and they've beat us twice. We've won once already, 8-1, demolished them in Cardiff in November, I think it was.
Yeah.
We beat them in Belfast. And again, I think that was no tea. But they, because we've lost games against Dundee, we've lost games against Manchester, Glasgow, you know, teams that we should be beating on our home ice, especially. And Guildford have beat us away from home as well once. We need to be winning those games. That's the reason why we are in second place right now.
Oh, well, yes, that is true, mate. But look, early in the season, Cardiff were losing those games as well. Now,
but
they've more consistency coming into this period. Like in the last while, they've been winning left, right, and centre, and getting a really good run, a really good momentum going. I do agree with you because it seems like it's the same old story. I look back to last season and those games against MK and Edinburgh, you know, and a loss to Manchester, and we're dropping games that we shouldn't. Are we seeing the same thing again?
Well, again, I was just going about to touch on there. When you look at their record compared to ours, I was talking to Davey about it the other day, and how many games we've been in when we've been in one goal. Now, if we was it 18 points, Davey, we would have had off us if we'd have lost all those battles and the one-goal games?
Well, there's 13 one-goal games that if we had lost a goal, yes, we'd have lost, obviously, and then some would have went to overtime.
Right.
So you could make an argument that up to 20 points.
Okay, that's the big thing. They have taken their games the overtime to get the extra point. We haven't. So I think we've lost the same amount of games.
I think you are. Or there's only one in it, I think, something like that.
But I think they'd lost five in OT, and they've picked up a point in all those games. I can't remember how many we've lost in OT. I haven't looked I never look at it when we're playing away. I'll look at it this week as we lead up to the home games coming in. But
Sam, we'll go back to secondary scoring. I mean, secondary goal scoring opportunities, as in the first up shot doesn't go in and you look for the second scoring opportunity. We're not also getting that secondary scoring from lines other than, you know, Riley, Rutherford, you know, Murphy, and that has been something that we've talked about over a couple of months now. And you know, you and me have sat, Simon, and talked about this bad habit that we've got into of skating down, particularly left wing, and taking the bad angle shot on. We're not going across, you know, if you want to try and analyse a little bit of the game, we're not shooting across binds and forcing them into...
Right, go back and look at the first game on Saturday. Yep. What are we doing wrong? What's their first goal? Everybody's watching the puck.
Yep.
Everybody's watching the puck.
I'm talking about us scoring, but rather than them scoring. I'm talking about...
But it starts at the other end, Davey, as well.
Oh,
you know, our scoring, you know, how many guys have we got in double figures this year?
Loads.
You know, okay, so there you go. Right now, they're not firing.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about. Two goals.
About.
If we're not scoring more than two goals in games, then we're going to get beat. That's it. In this league, you need to be scoring more than two goals.
Boys, yeah, because through October and November and December, we had a fresher Tyler Besko-Rana here wasn't under so much pressure. You know, Besko needs help at the minute as well.
100%. Absolutely 100% right. He can mean we've got this weekend with 3-3, then the Monday, and then we play a game on Tuesday. So technically four games and five nights. Now, I've been there before in the World Championships for Ireland. Four games and five nights is a hell of a lot of ice time. The strain it takes on your body. You know, yeah, you're going to play against a couple against five. You've got to travel to Milton Keynes. The boys are then think they're probably going to stay over and then fly up to Glasgow. So they'll not have ice on the Monday or the Tuesday before they play Tuesday night. So that could be a detrimental as well. But it just comes down to, I think the biggest factor this weekend past was tiredness. I think the boys were boxed. I just think they were exhausted. I think last weekend against the Continental Cup, obviously the three games in three, I think that just drained them. Adam's got to find a way of getting them up and running again. I've no doubt he'll be able to do it. But guys need to really buckle down and get stuck into this, because if we don't pick up points this weekend, then we're going to be in a really bad position coming into really important games. We've got a doubleheader at home against obviously Fife this weekend. I think it's Coventry the following weekend.
It is.
You know, with Nottingham again to come back. Cardiff ends for a week after that for a doubleheader. You know, so. We need that. We again. I fully Was it you had put on Twitter, Paddy, about this league's far from over?
Possibly. I put a lot of nonsense on Twitter.
I don't think we're anywhere near this league being over. 9 points clear. Yeah, yep. It's not ideal. We've still got to play them twice at home. Yep. We've got a game in hand. You get those, they're only 3 points. Cardiff are going to flip. They're not going to win every game between now and the end of the season. It's not going to happen.
They're certainly, you got to hand it to them, put themselves in a pretty strong position.
Of course they have.
They can come to Belfast now with perhaps, certainly on the first night, with a slightly different battle plan. You know, they can come looking to take a game to overtime. You know, they'll take a split over the weekend. They'll take taking a game to overtime. You know, they don't necessarily have to come out worrying about beating us. You know, they're now in a position where they can play a little bit more defensive hockey to try and win the league.
Yeah, right. David, there's a lot of games left between the time when they get here.
100%. 100%.
There's 4 weeks to look forward to go, and it's probably about 12 games before they get here. Things could be upside down. The league could be over. You just never know.
Yeah.
Let's concentrate on one game at a time. The weekend, it wasn't good enough. That's the bottom line. It was not good enough. The boys know that. Adam certainly is. I'm sure he's pointed it out to them on more than one occasion. They're getting back to work tomorrow morning, and they'll be all focused on playing this weekend. But the weekend was not good enough.
Let me ask you quickly about Sunday, just because we've sort of taken it as a whole, but there's just one part of Sunday in particular, and it is those 72, 73 seconds in the first period where it was bang, 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 and Cardiff have a 3-goal lead. Now, the Giants did dig deep, and Bon and Dwyer brought it to 3-2, but ultimately, Davey, those 3 goals, that minute and a half off just killed the game.
Really, you know, poor play for the first goal. Bad concentration, you know, we've thrown a puck up the centre of the ice. They've came in and picked it off, scored. We've changed our lines up. I think it's the line, the next line comes on, and all of a sudden, they've all got attracted to the puck. Somebody's came in, back door, banged it away, and then we've changed lines again. And, you know, three goals, three different lines scored on inside, as you say, less than 2 minutes. And it was game over. And okay, we got ourselves a couple of quick power play goals at the start of the second period. And you think, things are looking up here. And of course, we'll go into the period break then, 3-2 down and everything to play for. If we'd played that second period perhaps on Saturday night, we might have been looking at a different weekend. But, you know, they've came out in the third period and got that early goal, which, you know, kind of have a mosey breakaway. I think were we on, you know, You can't get that.
Yeah, it was just short. The power play was just over.
The power play was just finishing, and Mosey breaks away, and Vandy, I think, and Gary just couldn't get back to sneak an attack or a defense in on Mosey, and he puts it past Besko, and all of a sudden it's 4-2, and then you're really, really up against it. They're a big crowd, and you're tired at that stage. You know, you've 15 minutes left on the night of a doubleheader. You've had a lot of hockey, and I think Simon had it on the nail. Hit the nail on the head earlier when he says we're just at that stage of the game we were just gassed. I don't think we had anything left to give at that stage, and we kind of just played the rest of the game out.
Do you know the disappointing thing? See, in the first 10 minutes on Saturday, again, we could have been 2 or 3 up.
Yeah,
we had chances. If we weren't getting chances, then it's even. We're in a worse position. We're getting chances, but it's our execution. We're not executing enough, and that's a big problem. Is it just because I know coaches go on about gripping sticks too hard and you know, maybe just not getting on the right side of a right position and stuff like that as well? But I know we've got guys in this locker room that can really step it up from the weekend, and it's time that they really just knuckle down and get stuck in there.
We're bunchy as well, Sam. We'll give up goals in bunches. We always have. Yeah. Over the last 3-4 years. But, you know, I think it was you said to me on Saturday night after it might have been their second goal, we're all over the place here. You know, we're running a ride. We couldn't get ourselves settled in our own zone. We couldn't get it out of the blue zone. You know, we got trapped in at times and allowed them.
15 seconds there, they score again.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and we were running around all over the place, which was just need someone just to take a big deep breath and just show that little bit of guile to say, right, calm it down here. Don't forget how we got to where we are here. Just the way we just lost concentration. We did look tired. We have to agree with that.
We'll leave it there, boys. Those games available from Ice Time TV, and you will link them up on our AVF TV if you want to watch them. Not the best of weekends for the Giants, and as Sid says, we've got four games in 5 days in this forthcoming weekend and into Tuesday. We'll come to that in a short while. We're about to hear from Dustin Johnner, but before that, just a quick word for our sponsors. We've got quite a few great sponsors. You know, we've got TPS, TP Total Performance Fitness, who sponsor our interviews. We've got Fornicab, of course, for the Player of the Month. And if you like your beers, you can get some lovely beers from beer52.com. They are the UK's number one subscription beer service, and they'll send you a box every single month. Go to beer52.com/AVFTV, and the first box is free. Time for the fan agenda, brought to you by our friends at Belfast Giants TV. Bit of a two-part fan agenda. Later on, we'll be hearing from Barry McKenzie. But first up, a very special one with a man who nearly took the roof off the SSC Arena the weekend before last in the Continental Cup when he scored that equalising goal against Ireland. It is Dustin Johnner. How are you, mate?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, all good. Obviously, in between last weekend and now, we've got the Cardiff games, which we'll talk about in a second, but I can't start without bringing up that Continental Cup weekend and that final game. You'll be unsurprised that most of the questions we got through on Twitter, Johnny Baxter, Stevie Thompson, Gareth Little, all people asking about that equalising goal. It was something quite special in the game. Of course, you also, you know, sent Davey in apoplectic with delight with the penalty shot goal as well.
Yep.
But that game as a whole was something else at the arena.
Yeah, absolutely. Just, you know, being part of it, you know, it's kind of an eerie sounding going into that, you know, third period when we were down 2-0, and you kind of feel like, you know, maybe we've kind of dug ourselves a hole. We can't get out of here. That, you know, Ireland was a good team and they were playing well. And, you know, I think it all really started with Higgy's goal there, and it gave us some life and it gave that building some life. And then, you know, to get that goal, you know, with 7 minutes left and just to hear the crowd go that way, it was pretty cool experience.
Dustin, obviously last season, you know, could have worked out better for you with injury and stuff. Only 22 games. You must be feeling a lot better about your game the way this season's progressed for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there was definitely some questions after last season to, you know, how I'd respond after being out that long last year and only playing 20 games and most of them at the beginning of the season. So I think mentally for myself, I definitely had to, you know, battle through some things and make sure I was in good enough shape this summer and come back and try and prove to myself and everybody else that I could still play and could still contribute in, you know, in a positive way to help this team win. And, you know, I think, you know, at least to myself, I've proved and hopefully to everybody else, I'm proving that, you know, I still got it. And that, you know, for me, it's being able to be out there and be part of this and be part of a team that looks like a championship team. I think we got it, all those pieces right now. And it's just, you know, not being able to play in that championship game last year in the Challenge Cup, you know, it's great to win, but it's definitely hard to be, you know, be up in the stands not watching that. So hopefully I'll have another chance this year to win a trophy.
Johnny, you spent an awful lot of time last year up in the Comedy Box. Lucky enough this year you haven't had to do that because you've been back on the ice again. You talk about the weekend before last in the Continental Cup and you said about, you know, you feel that we've got a championship team in this group of guys in the locker room this year. Can I take you back to the weekend past there against Cardiff Devils? Two games, two losses. What do you think, in your opinion, what do you think, where do you think we went wrong at the weekend?
You know, I think obviously you got to give Cardiff some credit. You know, they have a good team and they've built a culture there where, you know, they know how to play and they know how to win. But I think, you know, when you look at our dressing room, we have that character too. And I think, you know, the organization's done a good job of bringing in guys that really, you know, are just good people and good characters and can also play. And I think we've really gelled as a team and bonded. But, you know, when you think about the last weekend against Cardiff, I think, you know, we came out strong both games. And then we kind of, you know, we flattened out a bit in the second period of kind of both games where, you know, they kind of took over a little bit and then we had to battle back. And then, you know, when you get down to teams, you know, when teams can be that close, as we've seen in the first couple of games we played them other than the 8-1 win, but the overtime game against them was kind of the same thing. So I think, you know, either of those games could have went either way. We had chances and, you know, to score. I had a chance in, you know, in that second game when their D-man fell to make it, you know, 4-3, and then anything can happen after that. So it's just, you know, there were little things, and I don't think we played to our potential that weekend. I think, you know, we probably left a little bit more to be desired when you come in, when you're playing that big a game. So I think, you know, for us, we have to learn from that and learn that we have to be playing, you know, playoff hockey all year long the rest of the way.
I forgot to say the first point I wanted to make, so it's my fault for getting it the wrong way around. But last week's goal against Ireland in Belfast, you were chirped on Twitter by some guy called Pontus Aberg. Something, you know, he's only playing in the NHL at the minute. Like, did you pass any hints on to him when you were playing with him as a young kid?
I played with him, and I played with a couple other guys in Sweden, you know, when they were young. They were 18, 17, 18, 19 years old before they made it big. So I always tell them that whenever I see him playing in the show, like, I taught those guys a thing or two. That's how they got there. So, you know, they take it pretty funny. He's seen that penalty shot. I've done that a few times, and that's kind of where I started doing it, was in Sweden. And he'd seen it a few times in a row that year, where it worked a few times. So he was saying, oh, that thing still works. And I said, I've told the guys here, you know, that old trick's still working.
Dustin, before Paddy comes on the Twitter questions, just on that penalty shot, when you were stepping off the bench there, we needed to score to stay in it. Had you decided before you even got to the pocket center ice, I'm shooting here? Because a few of the guys had went before you, you know, with the dry cut in the ice, the puck was bobbly, they didn't get shots away. Had you decided before you even got to the puck to pick it up, this is what I'm going to do?
Yeah, I knew I was doing that move right away, especially when, you know, that's kind of a move I went to that I trusted in, especially in a situation like that. I was sitting on the bench before going out, and, you know, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, with the guys that are shooting in front of me, I'm thinking that if I'm the fifth shooter, I'm going to probably have a chance to win this thing. And then it came down to the chance where I got to score to tie this thing, where it was pretty stressful. I had to, you know, I had Kyle Bond there sitting, rubbing my back, and said, "You got this." And I'm like, just let me be. I'm taking deep breaths here, and I'll be all right. So I stepped on the ice, and I remember him after the game saying, "Oh," he's like, "How big was that breath you took as you were getting on a take that?" I said, "I had to calm my nerves down. My hands were shaking." So, but no, I knew I was going to come down and shoot. And even after the game, you know, Kiefer said, you know, that's one of the reasons why he picked me to go last there, was because he knew I was going to shoot the puck and not try and deke. So it worked out in our favor. But, you know, it was a tough loss in the end.
Just talking about, you know, Kiefer picked you to go on the penalty shots. Is it still along the lines of whoever's feeling confident to maybe put their hands up and want to take one? Obviously, it's a pressurized situation. It's for a championship. Or is it just a matter of Adam taking it into his own hands and going, right, you're...
Oh, sorry, you cut it. Okay. Yeah, I think it's been Kiefer's decision the whole way along. I think, you know, I think he has a feel for the game, and he sees who's playing well, and maybe if a guy scored a goal or in the game, maybe he'll go back to him. And, you know, we also do shootouts in practice, and, you know, he knows who kind of comes down and who has confidence in certain times. And obviously, throughout the year, guys go through confidence and they go through slumps. So I think he's got a good feel on who to put in. And, you know, there's certain guys that, you know, have that skill and who have that set of hands where I think they're going to get more opportunities than other guys, no matter how they're playing. But, you know, Kiefer, you know, I think he takes it on himself, and he takes pride in picking and, you know, giving us the best chance to win.
A couple of questions on Twitter. I'll just run you through a couple of these, Dustin. Sure. Rosie Auckland, you're the only Janty of worn 83. What does that number mean to you? And she also says, thanks for being a source of teal pride. But what does 83 mean to you?
Oh, I appreciate that. But 83 kind of came about, obviously, it's the year I was born. If anybody doesn't know, now everybody knows how old I am. But no, 83 came about when I played in Deer Garden in Sweden. I went there, and they're a team that has a lot of tradition, and they have a lot of numbers that have been retired or that had older guys have been wearing. So the numbers I used to use, I used to be number 9, I used to be number 21, and those numbers were all taken. And so I went there, and I just sat down and kind of talked with my wife, and I'm like, what about 83? You know, so it's a number that just came about that way, and then it stuck with me. We had a few good years, won a championship there, and it's kind of had success from it, so it just kept with it.
Ryan Donaldson, any game day superstitions or rituals? And if not, any crazy superstitions you've seen in the locker room over the years?
Yeah, I got a few. Nothing crazy, you know. I always put my right skate on first. I always, you know, after I take my stick in the locker room, I set it in the same spot, you know. And if I don't have a good game, or I don't, you know, score a goal or something, maybe I move it and put another spot, and hopefully that becomes the lucky spot. And then just one other thing is when we're coming out to the home games, I'm usually the last guy to go out of the locker room after everybody's went, and just, you know, give a tap on the top of the door saying let's go, and everybody's out there, and let's go.
And last one here from Phil Armstrong says, is Dustin enjoying Calgary's Western dominance so far, and how good is Johnny Hockey?
I actually am. I'm a Calgary fan. I come from Alberta. I live in Red Deer. So I'm about an hour and a half from Edmonton, and I'm an hour and a half from Calgary. So I am a Calgary fan. So I'm loving seeing, you know, their success, and watching Johnny Hockey, just seeing what he does has been great. And it's always nice. My wife's a huge Oilers fan. So we always have the debate. Both of us are trying to get our kids to jump one way or the other. And I think she's winning that battle right now. So she's home with them a little more than I am. So she gets more time to kind of brainwash them a little bit to go in that way. But no, it's great to see. And, you know, when you go home, it's just nice to see, you know, Canadian teams in the playoffs, especially when you go home and you can watch the games and, you know, never know, you may get a chance to go watch one of those playoff games if they're still going.
And your thoughts on Iginla's number going to the rafters?
I think he deserves it. You know, for so long, he was the face of that franchise, and he's done so much for that, you know, community and organization. It's definitely a number that should be up in the rafters there.
Dustin, this weekend, sort of 3-3, and then a day off, if you like. Not really a day off, a travel day, but, you know, 4 games in 5 days. It's going to be a hard slog. Is that a whole different way you have to manage your body and manage rest and manage getting food on board? Is that just really difficult?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, especially, you know, with how many games, you know, we've been playing lately and everything, I think it's kind of mental. I think we've been, you know, Kiefer, you know, he'll design his practices and everything leading up to it in the way that, you know, will give us the best opportunity, as much rested but also as well prepared as we can. And then once you get into the, you know, those 4 and 5 games, I think, you know, you have to, you know, get your sleep and you have to eat right, and you have to hydrate, and all those things that, you know, as professional athletes, we've been doing all our lives. So I think it feels more like, you know, times when you're in North America playing, where you're playing 5 and 6 and 7 and 9, and, you know, you just have to go back to those days and remember what you were doing and how it was mostly a mental battle when you get into those 3rd and 4th games. And, you know, I think, you know, we know how important these are right now, especially after losing the 2 last weekend. You know, we got to get on a run here, and especially, you know, with that Tuesday game being, you know, for the Challenge Cup, you know, that's something we want to go after again and retain that.
Johnny, I want to finish you off here with quick fire questions. We did one with Lenny a couple of weeks ago.
I heard about
who's the biggest geek in the room, and he said you, obviously, because he thinks you're the smartest guy on the planet. So we're going to do some quick fire questions for you.
Sounds good.
Who's the stupidest guy in the room?
Oh my goodness, really? You're going to say that to me?
Well, you know, why not?
Okay.
It's supposed to be a quick, but we'll go back to the title again. Gary. It's quick fire questions. Okay, Gary? All right, okay. If you were a superhero, what would be your superpower?
I'd be invisible.
If you won $1 million tomorrow, what's the first thing you would buy?
A sports car.
How do you like your steak cooked?
Medium.
What was your last film you watched?
Oh my goodness, my last movie I watched. This is supposed to be fast, isn't it? I can't even remember.
Yep.
Next.
We're hoping to crack 3 hours in this podcast.
I can't remember. Next.
Okay, we'll come back to that. We'll finish that one. Weapon of choice?
Grenade. You can ask the guys, because that's probably what they say when passes come to them. Like,
did the chicken come first or the egg?
Definitely the chicken.
Last band or artist you listened to?
It would have been what's his name from the movie?
Movies and don't ask any movies.
No, he was a soundtrack. It's The Greatest Showman. What's that song called? My daughter has me listen to that all day long.
This is The Greatest Show.
A Million Dreams.
This is me.
That's it. Yes. This is me, it's called.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Davey. And the last one. What's the one thing you can't leave home without?
My toothbrush.
Your toothbrush? Do you leave it every day?
It's not for a road trip. Okay, sorry. Then I'm guessing my phone.
Sorry, that's pretty standard.
I'm not very good at this quiz here.
Well, listen, we'll leave it at that. Dustin, listen, thank you very much for joining us. I think it goes without saying that goal you scored the other week was one that will go down in Giants history, and it's one that brought us all a lot of joy. Okay, the outcome wasn't the best, but what a night that was, and we've got quite a bit to fight for in the remainder of the season. Thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks again to DJ. Around the league, boys, there's been a few things that have happened in the last couple of weeks. Obviously, we had the Continental Cup show last week, and we didn't cover some of the bigger topics. I'm just going to breeze through a couple of them. We're going to start with the sacking of Rich Cernan. As the Nottingham Panthers had a bit of a bad time of it. Yes, they sit in third position. However, that is probably a false positioning for them, because before Cernan was relieved of his duties, he had won 4 games in his previous 16. The biggest shock of the lot, from my own personal perspective, is the fact that he wasn't replaced by another big name, as maybe the Nottingham Panthers have a tendency to do. What they've done is they've taken Rick Strachan and given him his first head coaching job since the whole Stingrays. He'll look after them, give it the gigs at the end of the season. He'll look after them to the end of the season with Guy Lepine helping him out. Davey, I'll start with you. Was it a shock that Cernan has got the bullet?
Well, I've seen that you had a poll on your Twitter as to who were your three options. It was Tom Barrasso,
Rich Cernan, or Theresa May.
I've seen somebody saying Theresa May, the only woman that could go to DFS and pay full price. It wasn't a huge surprise, you know, both these organizations, you know, it would have been more of a surprise for Barrasso because they've already moved Paul Thompson on this season. It would be quite strange, I imagine, to give the coach, you know, only a few months there. And, you know, it's hard to say that there hasn't been improvements in Sheffield, and they've made player changes, which I'm sure you'll come on to. It just hasn't worked for Cernan, and as you say, you know, that's an organization now that's getting a lot of bodies in the building every game, and you know, they're demanding more than what they've been getting. The results just haven't went as way. Start of the season, they were on fire. You know, a good barometer of where the Panthers are is to follow John O'Bullard, because you know, if he wins, he's, you know, he'll let you know, and if they get beat, he'll let you know.
I think the surprise, mainly, as other than Cernan going, was the fact that they've given it to Strachan.
Yeah, I don't know what they're at. I really don't care either. you know, I just hope. I mean, they only picked up was a 2 points from the weekend. They beat Fife on Sunday night, I think.
Yep.
You know, beaten by Dundee and then beaten by Glasgow. So you know, long may that continue. I think it's funny. Somebody was it. That guy, Mark Finn, who pointed out that, you know, Nottingham just closing the gap on us, blah, blah, blah. You know,
it talks so what? Best of times.
So I've heard. again, don't really care. Still haven't watched any of Jono's periscopes or whatever he's on to. But, who cares?
okay. I will say that I was surprised with the fact that they've more or less put it all on Cernan, because by, you know, Lepine and Strachan are still part of the coaching setup, which means that having won only 4 of the previous 16, to sack Cernan and to promote those guys says to me that they had the belief that Cernan just didn't have the locker room, or that he was solely responsible for the bad run. As you've said there, Sis, you know, they've gone to Scotland, they've taken 2 points from 6, and it, you know, whether they can turn their season around or not, we'll see as the weeks go on. Other news in Coventry, Miroslav Koprova is gone again. Two short spells with the Coventry Blaze, and they've brought in Matt Hackett, a former NHL netminder, for the remainder of the season. He played 26 times for Buffalo and the Wild, and a save percentage of 90.6 in the NHL. However, in his first game, he was pulled after about 7 minutes, having conceded, I think it was 4 goals against Guildford, in what seemed to be a weekend series between Guildford and Coventry that was a bit of a fly nets, rush goalie sort of situation where everybody was scoring. But you'd expect Says to bring in an NHL standard netminder. That's a big shout for Coventry. It just doesn't seem to have set up right.
No, it's you know, I thought that they, you know, obviously bringing that caliber of goalie in, that Coventry would have been really up for that on the start. But, you know, we get off, obviously, at a really bad start. It's always difficult coming into Guildford. You know, they've, especially their power play, it's pretty decent. But I'm sure he'll want to forget his first start and maybe try to pick up a couple of wits. I have no idea who to play this weekend. But Coventry they're a funny team. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I can't put my finger on what the problem is in Coventry. I like Danny Stewart. I've always liked him. Like he's, yeah, you know, he's a nice enough guy, and they've chopped and changed. They've got a lot of the British guys that they used to have was really. They always used to have some really good British guys, and they've lost that. They've lost a lot of that, I think. But I don't know how it's going to end up for them this season. I'd like to see them trying to push ahead of that other team down at the bottom, Sheffield. But again, we'll just have to wait and see. There's still a long way to go.
Speaking of the basement dwellers, the Sheffield Steelers in the last couple of weeks released 3 of their imports in Stefan De La Rovere, Justin Buzio, and Matt Climie, the goalkeeper. They haven't replaced Matt Climie yet. They seem to be going with Jackson Whistle. But they've brought in Tom... Oh, I get the guy's name up. It begins with a Z, doesn't it? Tom Zanoski. He's made his debut at the weekend, and today they've signed a D-man or a defensive cover in a Latvian called Sylvester Selekis. He's played for 3 teams this season alone, and he's a bit of a prospect. He's coming in as cover for the injury hit McFadden. But Davey, Sheffield bottom 2. They what do they do now? Do they reload and just try to, you know, target the playoffs, but at the minute they're not in playoff position.
Well, they've rung the changes so many times this season. I think I looked at their roster changes are definitely well into double digits this season. Of you know, I remember putting it on Twitter the other day that something like 10 players who hadn't amassed the same amount of points as Pat Dwyer, you know, yeah, and twice or 3 times amount of games. But that was just a bit of a dig at Steelers, like we like to do. But you know, they've changes behind the bench, and they've had so many changes on the bench. And I suppose Tom Barrasso, if he's been given sort of the arm around his shoulder and says, look, you've definitely got the rest of this season, well then he has to gear for a playoff push. So he's brought in a forward, he's brought in defensive cover. I see Mustakas has left his team and where he ends up, who knows? He's moved, has he signed somewhere?
No, he's left Nice and he's going somewhere else, but I don't know where.
So, you know, when stranger things have happened, Paddy, then they end up back in Sheffield again. You know, I think that they'll need more goaltending if they're going to compete for the playoffs and qualify for the playoffs. You know, I wouldn't have thought at the start of the season, Paul Thompson, Dave Sims, Tony Smith and all those guys sat down and would have thought at this stage come, you know, towards the end of January, they would be sitting outside a playoff position. So I think there'll be money spent there to try and get themselves as high up that playoff ladder as they can. And then, you know, see what they can do in the postseason, that weekend of the postseason.
I'm going to correct myself. I said they're in the bottom 2. They're now 3rd from bottom. They're above the Coventry Blaze on regulation wins with a 500 on the series regards to points. 39 games played, 39 points. Says how does your good friend Tom Barrasso turn this around?
I don't know. He won't talk to me. again, it's just down to hard work. I know they've made a couple of changes. That guy's came in for me. He didn't really stand out at the Continental Cup semi-finals. I remember him being on the ice, but I don't really remember him doing very much. And I don't know anything about this kid. But one thing about me, when you play for 3 different teams and already 1 season, for me, to be very honest, that means there's a bit of a problem.
Yep.
I found that from experience. And hopefully, you know, Cardiff Sheffield will be his fourth and he'll move on to something else. But I don't like those pickups, picking guys up who play for two or three teams in such a short space of time. It maybe means you're a bit of a problem in the dressing room. He's only a kid. He's, what is he, 20, 21? Again, it's Sheffield. I've absolutely no doubt that they'll be looking for another goaltender because Jackson won't be able to do it on his own.
Was that a surprise, them gassing Clamy?
I don't think so. When you look at the results they were getting, you know, I think when Barrasso brought him in, I think he was expecting him to be the number one. And when he didn't deliver, you know, goaltenders are supposed to be your best penalty killers. Yeah, he had a couple of good games. And to be honest, I thought he was doing decent against us. First 40 minutes in Belfast in the first night Jackson played, wasn't he? And then Clamy played the second night.
Yeah.
So the first 40 minutes he came in the second night, I thought he was doing well. We were playing pretty decent hockey then and had our chances to score, and he made some big saves. Third period, he was bullshit, Nick. He was just exhausted. Yeah. And when you're only playing, you know, one game in one weekend as a top goaltender in this league, you need to be fresh. I don't think he's fit. I don't think he was fit. I don't think he was, you know, the number he's put up in the AHL a couple of years ago, and he obviously, you know, he only played a few games. Was it 12 games from memory that he had played at the start of the season for somebody else? So, again, it's Sheffield. I've no doubt that they'll fire more money at it trying to get back. You know, they'll get a playoff place. I've no doubt about that. Would you want to play Sheffield in the quarterfinals of the playoffs? I don't think you would.
No, I don't think you would. Couple of teams that are on a bit of a good run in the middle to wrap up. Manchester Storm have dragged themselves off the bottom two and got themselves into a playoff position, only a point ahead of the Sheffield Steelers. They also are on a 500 season with 40 points from 40 games. And above a point above them, Dundee Stars have got themselves right up into fifth, is it? One, two, three, four, five, sixth. They've had a great run of late, Davey.
Yeah, you know, Pashas came up with some absolutely unbelievable results. Of course, his couple of wins against Sheffield there last weekend, where he got his face time from Belfast, and then they followed that up with another couple of really good results. And you know, you just get a little bit streaky. You get four or five games, you put a few results together, you can get up this table fairly quickly. So the teams at the bottom, as probably Milton Keynes are probably cast adrift now, but all those teams at the bottom are all battling for those bottom half, you know, playoff spots, and the same with Belfast and Nottingham, Cardiff. You just have to get hot and stay hot for a few weekends, and all of a sudden you've closed the gap or you've created a gap.
How many points is it between 11th and 5th?
It's literally 6 points.
Do you know what I mean?
It's 3 points. It's 39 to 42.
Between 11th and 5th?
Yep.
That's incredible. Like,
Glasgow Clan on 42, Sheffield Steelers and Coventry Blaze both on 39.
There's still a long way to go, but again, you know, I can't see anybody getting past. I think the league now is between us and Cardiff. I still don't think the league's over. With regards to the playoff places, that could be more interesting than what's going to happen at the top of the league, to be honest. Nottingham have played, I think they have five more games than us.
That's crazy in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But again, I can understand. We don't forget, we missed two weekends because of Continental Cup. So having to make those up and starting this weekend with three games is going to be tough.
Let's looking at that at that table. Cardiff are sitting at top, 38 games played, 62 points. The Giants are 9 points behind and a game in hand, 37 games, 53 points. Nottingham have played seven games more than the Belfast Giants, and they're 2 points behind, 44 games, 51 points. 38 games, 45 points. And then, as we said, Glasgow, Dundee, Guildford, Manchester, then into Sheffield and Coventry. There's only 3 points between them. Glasgow in 42, Dundee in 41, Guildford in 40, Manchester in 40, Sheffield on 39, Coventry on 39, and then propping up the table, Milton Keynes Lightning with 26 points from 40 games. A bonus part two of the fan agenda. Delighted to be joined by a man who played, I think it was 12 games for the Belfast Giants, but is renowned right across the elite league. And that's Barry McKenzie. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Thanks for joining us. Let's start, you know, at the Five Flyers. How's your season going so far, do you think?
Yeah, good so far. We had a really, really good start. I think over maybe the last month or two, we haven't been as consistent as we were at the start. But I think when you look at the big picture, we're still fourth. We're still pushing Nottingham for third right now. So I think all in all, we can be quite happy with the way our season's going.
When you're in those sort of battles, and I'm not saying that's the sort of battles, like Fife have been doing really well in season, and you've got quite a few games in hand, especially on the Nottingham Panthers. Do you just chase to get that playoff position?
Yeah, well, I think when you look down the league standings, it's so close between what third and 10th is like 10 points maybe. And it's not a lot of points considering the amount of games left. I mean, I think realistically, we just kind of have to focus like one game at a time and obviously try and pick up 2 points. And wherever we finish in the standings, we finish. Like, we need to push, but we do need to push like Nottingham. But I think overall, I think we need to make the playoffs, obviously, hopefully get the conference back as well and get our confidence going in a good form going into the playoffs.
Barry, when you look around, you've had a lot of clubs. You've played for all the Scottish clubs now, obviously ending up in Fife. And 3 years in Brayhead or Glasgow or Renfrewshire, whatever way you want to put it. But, when you get the opportunity to move on from the likes of Brayhead to Fife, how did that move come about for you?
Well, obviously, with John Tripp coaching and with the clan last year, when he was relieved of his duties, it kind of left my position up in the air. If John was going back, I would have been going back. But obviously with the coaching change and stuff like that, obviously he wanted to bring his own players in. And I had grumbles before any of this kind of materialised, and I was approached by Fife. And like I've said before, I basically just said to him, look, I need to see what's happening with the clan first. They're my team. You know, I have to wait and see what they're basically saying. But I think, like, in my head, I knew what was going to happen. And obviously, after I spoke to my partner, it was kind of a no-brainer for me to go and back and link up with Hutchie again and play under with Dutz.
And obviously, you know, with the time you've had in the clan, are they not talking about giving you a banner yet?
I in the car park on the way out.
You never know, mate. You never know. You might be lucky enough to get. They've obviously picked up Peter Russell this year. You know Peter from for a long time. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of tournaments being held in your hometown of Dumfries. IIHF. That must be great for the town as well.
Yes, definitely. I've been down to a few of the tournaments when they're on, and you see the town's buzzing. The council in Dumfries are doing a great job of like with the hotels and stuff like that, and making it a really friendly family atmosphere, getting all the local schools involved and stuff like that. And I think it's kind of, I personally haven't been this season. My dad's been to a few of the Solway Sharks games, and he says they're getting good crowds. So I think it's kind of filtering down, and people in Dumfries are getting more involved with hockey like it used to be back in the old Vikings days, like you would know.
Oh, it's a long time ago, mate, believe you me. I got my skates out on Sunday night for the first time in a while. So I'm sitting here in the kitchen with the feet up, believe you me.
Nice packs in the knees.
Absolutely, mate.
Barry, it's Davey, you bring up the Solway Sharks, and of course it was I try and bring it back towards the Belfast Giants. You were with the Sharks and you'd scored about 1,000,000 points one season, and you took a chance down. I think it was Chelmsford or somebody had taken you on, but the Belfast Giants sort of came in around the same time and offered you the chance, and we ended up doing like a 2-way deal for Chelmsford. You ended up here for a sort of a dozen games. Any good memories of your time in Belfast? Short though.
Definitely. Yeah, I loved it. I remember after my last year in Solway, when it was Todd phoned me and I went over and seen him during the summer, and everything was great. And obviously then, like you said, Chelmsford, and I just didn't know what to do. I think Todd went on holiday and he got back. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, and I was really young at the time. I've never obviously really had to do stuff like that. And like, it was, I don't know, I'm going to say stupid of me, like signing for Chelmsford before I even spoke to him. But I kind of got, we got talking, and it was just like, it was like I've said, like, like all my moves, like no brainer. Like a young kid going over and playing in Belfast, it was like from the outside, it was like the glitz and the glamour, the big beautiful rink, you know, the good fans, a great team, successful team. It was just something I wanted to be a part of, and you know, I enjoyed every second of it. Like obviously, unfortunately, I didn't maybe last as long as I would like to have, but I can only take good memories away from it.
Was it Lewis Christie you signed alongside? Was that the both?
It was, right. Yeah, it was. Yeah. He came maybe a couple of weeks after me. He was in Fife the year before with Dutz's brother. Well, Dutz's Mark played with Belfast, and obviously Todd coached in Fife. So I think that was the kind of connection through that. But he obviously stayed the year, and he done pretty well. And I think he moved to Milton Keynes the year after. But yeah, I mean, I had a good time. I remember it was like it was yesterday. It was kind of strange because we played pre-season against a foreign team. I can't remember who it was. I was trying to think of this on the way, like, way back from practice today. And I got an assist and I was like, oh, this is good. You know, like this is like, I was like fair chuffing myself. And the first game we played was against Edinburgh at the Odyssey. And I should have scored. I had a great chance and I missed it. And I was like, I was just gutted. And I was like, oh no. It sounds weird, but I look back and you wonder, like, there's different parts of your career, if you'd done something different, like where you would be or what you'd have been doing or something. I wonder if I scored that, I wonder if it would have been different for me, you know what I mean? It's like for a confidence kind of thing. Because being a young kid in that team, it was just sometimes overwhelming with the big names, the big stars, and especially how we weren't doing as well as we were meant to be doing.
Yeah.
It's just weird. It's like I said, it's things you just look back on and say, I wonder if that would have changed anything. You know what I mean?
Sliding doors moments.
I was just for your own sanity, it was against Huddinge, the Swedish team.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
31st of August 2007. So there you go.
Jesus, you sound old, isn't it?
Couple of questions we got from Twitter. I'll just fire them and you can give us what you got. Stevie at Stevie1601 says, "How does it feel lacing up against a rival and a former team? Is it the will to win? Does the will to win get even stronger, or is it just another game?" I suppose that's for you. That's a lot of teams.
I know.
Yeah. Most games.
More clubs than Dick Faldo.
It's weird. With that question, I'll go back to like the Fife and the Brayhead thing, because that's a massive rivalry, and being there for 3 years, I mean, you kind of have to control your emotions to a certain extent, because you can get yourself too motivated and you can go to the game and it sometimes will just pass by you. You'll be trying to complicate things and things are going your way, so you're going to try and do extra to try and prove a point, sort of thing. I think you have to have a good balance. Like, yeah, you have to be motivated and obviously you want to win, but you have to obviously stay calm as well, because I think when you're calm, that's when you play the best. But yeah, I mean, I think there's been a couple of times maybe the occasion has got the better of me, but I think we're getting older, you have to just kind of channel it the right way. But it's always still good.
Keelan Deaney asks for your standout moment or game in your Elite League career.
Another one. You know, see, driving back from Kirkcaldy to Glasgow, like I seen these questions online, and I was
you're thinking about them.
I was honestly, see, the whole way back, I've been thinking about them, and it's so hard. You know, I mean, do I look at my first goal? Do I look at my first hat trick? You know, I don't know. Like, it's hard. Like, I mean, I think a game that also stands out, it was when I was under 18s and I played for GB and we won. It was the first gold medal I won. I think that game stands out. It was the last game of the tournament. We had to win and we won 2-1. I think that game kind of stands out. But like winning any game you win, it's like, you know, you always take great memories from every team I played for. There's always been memories and standouts. So it's really hard to just pick one. Do you know what I mean?
Barry, it's this, you're talking about winning the gold medal for under 18 GB.
Yeah.
This year, the senior GB team have got the chance to put their wits against the biggest and best nations in the world. 32 years of age, you're getting ice time on a regular basis.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, compared to a lot of British guys who, you know, that for me, I think this year it's wide open. I still think that there's, you know, I don't think Peter Russell's got his mind made up with the guys that he's taken, because there's, you know, there's still a lot of players who have got to give a hell of a lot more to be on that plane. Has it crossed your mind at all that, you know, that you'd really like to try and get there and give yourself a chance?
Well, to be honest with you, right, so the last few years I've been asked that question and I've been like, I know I'm never going to make it, you know, I just want to concentrate on my club team. And I remember like going back, I know I sometimes go back to this, my year in Edinburgh, when I played really well, I think I was the third top British scorer in the league and I never made the GB team. I made the squad, I never made the team. And I asked, a couple of years down the line, I asked, it was Tony Hand, I think, who was actually coaching at the time. I said, why did I not make it? We were just talking one day. And his answer was, because I was playing in Edinburgh. Right? So I was like, right, okay. And getting older, like my thought process to that kind of changed, because I think when you're younger, you just want to, you're more selfish, I think. You want to, it's all about your goals. Do you know what I mean? And when obviously getting older, being in Dundee and Brayhead and obviously now in Fife, I think everything's kind of changed with me. It's like more team goals. So yeah, I would love to go. I'm not saying for a second I wouldn't like to go. I would love to go and represent my country. But I think like first and foremost for me at this stage of my career, I just want to do well at club level. And if that leads to a national call-up, then that'd be amazing. If it doesn't, I'm not going to look back and cry about it. Do you know what I mean?
Talking about looking back, and I go back again, Barry, you know, right. whenever you came to Belfast, I think you'd had half a dozen or maybe slightly more than that games in the Elite League. And now, sort of, whatever was said there, 12, 13 years later, 500. That must be, I know guys who play in the league, they say they'll maybe look back on their stats whenever they're playing Desert Over and hopefully, touch wood, you have a few more games in you yet. But that must be something. Longevity, you must have a little bit of personal pride just about hitting that milestone this season.
Oh, definitely. You know, I think from being a Scottish boy from Dumfries, to make that, like, to make that milestone's massive achievement for myself. There has been ups and downs. I'm not going to say it's been all smooth sailing. But I've always worked hard, and I've always, every team that I've played for, I've never closed a door. You know, like I played with Jeff and Dundee, never closed the door there. And obviously, I'm now in Fife with them. You know, I just work hard. And, you know, you just have to, every game you play, every season you play, every team you play for, you just have to appreciate it. Like it's your last game, you know, and work hard. And, you know, you do get rewards for it. You know, like I'm still playing. Like there's not many guys my age still playing, or when I look back with like national teams when I was younger. I think it's like myself, Mark Richardson, and David Phillips, I think, are the only ones who are actually still playing in the Elite League. You know, so I think, yeah, I mean, it is great. And hopefully I can continue to play for as long as I can. Like, that's still my goal. I'm not ready to retire. Like, I've hopefully got a few more years left in me.
I'm going to wrap it up with a couple of more from Twitter. By Thomas Brownlee asks, is there any player you look forward to going up against for the battle?
Not really.
Must be looking forward to Zach Fitzgerald, because I mean the two of you look like twins.
I know, you know, and he's a nice guy. He's actually a really nice guy. I tried to hit him the other week, and he's like, "Watch what you're doing." I was like, "Sorry." I'll kill you. I was like, "All right." No, but he's a great guy and a great leader for the clan. I actually kind of like playing against the physical players, because I'm not saying that I'm a big guy and, you know, I'm going to push people around, because that's just not true at all. But I like just coming up against players. Like, I like playing against like guys like Lapine. He's so physical, and he's such a hard player to play against. You know, if it was it's better playing against that than playing against easy players, you know, and there's not a lot of them in this league, if any. Do you know what I mean?
Talking about big players, you must be looking forward to playing against Nottingham the other night with Chris Stewart there.
Yeah, it was actually his first game, and we beat them down there. And it's weird when the NHLers or the ex-NHLers come over, because the first game they always try and like stamp an authority or make an impression with the home fans, and it was like, right, keep our heads up, because you know it's going to happen. You know it's like inevitable. And it was James Isaacs in the corner, and he had the puck, and it's like we're all sitting on the bench like, get rid of it, boom. And I was just like, thank the Lord, that wasn't me.
One from Stevie Thompson. Is there any away rinks that you despise going to for whatever reason?
Well, again, I was thinking about this on the way down. And this answer has nothing to do with the organisations, the players, the fans, or anything.
Drumroll.
My answer, purely, Manchester and Coventry. And do you know why?
As a former Manchester Phoenix, and you hit a
player? No. Do you know the pure and simple reason that is my two worst arenas? The showers are absolutely terrible.
I've heard
So there's absolutely nothing worse than playing a game, having to go on the bus and travel back up for 5 hours, and you're literally stinking because the showers, like the water pressure, just it doesn't even trickle. You're better just washing yourself in the sink. Like it doesn't even spurt out. It just like comes out the showerhead and runs down the wall. So it takes like 3 hours for all the guys to try and actually have a shower. So that's that hands down. But as I said, nothing to do with the organisation, the players, or anything. That's just purely showers.
Surely at Manchester, the showers are better in the home dressing room.
Well, that's the thing, because when I remember when I played, the showers in the home dressing room were actually pretty good.
Yes, well, then it's just a thing for the away. They do it on purpose.
Oh, maybe. But it's a nightmare. It's an absolute and I like going for a shower before the game as well, but I can't even do that because it would take me like 45 minutes to try and have a shower before the game.
Two games in Belfast this weekend, Barry. What are you expecting?
Tough battle. Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be good hockey. I think when you look back at the games against Belfast this year, they've all been really close. There's always good hockey getting played. I think it's a tough weekend for us. We know that, and we need to pick up points. You know, like we were talking about earlier, the standards, like Belfast, are exactly the same position as we need to pick up points. You know, we're not just coming over for the night stay or whatever. We're coming to play and pick up points, and pretty sure Belfast are saying exactly the same thing like that. So I think it's going to make a good battle.
Well, listen, mate, thank you very much for joining us. You know, 500 games in the Elite League. And I'll tell you what, no matter who you speak to, be it, you know, Cardiff fans, Basingstoke fans, I know quite a few Manchester fans here, you know, and all the guys in the Scottish teams, I don't know anybody has a bad word to say about the game that you played for them. Always putting a decent shift in. So thanks very much, mate. And of course, we always say, once a giant, always a giant. And thanks for joining us.
No, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again to Barry. And we are up against his very team, the Fife Flyers, on Friday and Saturday night. Before we get stuck into talking about those games, Joel had a chance to speak with Barry's boss, the head coach of the Fife Flyers. That's Todd Doodium.
The Belfast Giants will look to bounce back from a road trip to Forget in Cardiff with a big 3-3 this weekend, beginning with a home doubleheader against the fourth place Fife Flyers. And it's my pleasure now to be joined by Flyers head coach Todd Doodium. Dudes, we got some hockey weather in Belfast tonight. The snow's on the ground. How's winter out there on the east coast of Scotland?
Yeah, not too bad. We haven't got any of that yet, and hopefully we can hold off. But I guess we're coming out your way to see what's going on out there.
Yeah, fingers crossed for some easy travels this weekend. Listen, it's great to have you on the show again. The last time we spoke, you sort of outlined your ambitions for the season ahead. Your Flyers are currently sitting in fourth place in the league, trailing the Nottingham Panthers by 6 points. But crucially, you've got six games in hand. How would you sum up the campaign so far?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, nobody really knew what to expect when we kind of abolished the conference format and went to a straight. I'm sure there was many predictions, and it was always going to be difficult. I think this is probably the closest the league has ever been. Everybody plays everybody the same amount of times, and you know, there's been a lot of complaints, you know, a lot from our end, certainly about consistency, but if you look around the league, maybe just yourselves and Cardiff can be near enough the only ones that complain about lack of consistency. You guys had a heck of a season so far. And, you know, for us, it's tough. People up here put a lot of stock in the local rivals. If you don't win those games, you know, there's a lot made of that. And I understand that everybody wants to beat their local rivals. But we've had a lot of success this year. We got off a great start to the league. then really hit a wee bumpy patch and then stood out. But we hit the injury bug, and a key player, Chase Shaver, went down for us, and Bloodhoff scored 40 goals for us. There was big parts of the lineup missing out. But we're hoping to make a strong run in here.
One of the things you kind of highlighted there, and highlighted also as an important factor early in the season, was retaining that Gardner Conference title. Things are a little tighter there, 3 points and 2 games ahead of your rivals, the Glasgow Clan. Do you have high hopes for a repeat of last season's silverware?
I think that's important, that in a second half, when we do end up having these conference games, that we certainly compete better than we have in division. And we haven't fared well. In fact, it's probably the 3 divisions, arguably being the most punishing. That being said, I know that this group here, we've talked about it a little bit over the course of the new year, about the importance of winning these local derbies. And, I think it's sinking in. We had a lot of new players, a higher turnover. And they don't understand the dynamics within the league. They're probably very happy that they find themselves in fourth place in this very competitive league and have the ability of chasing down Nottingham. So we have our eyes firmly on competing well here in the second half. And, yeah, hopefully locking up a playoff position.
And then let's take a look at the weekend ahead. The series between Fife and the Giants is currently all tied up at 2-2. Both sides having won a league and a cup game. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, it's going to be incredibly tough. Just watching parts of the games that you had on the weekend. The games went up a pace. I'm sure you know more about that. It's 2 excellent hockey clubs that we're going to be facing this weekend, and 2 teams really playing for something. The Giants, who obviously want to be continuing pursuit of the league title, and Cardiff, who are trying to wrap things up. So, we're a stern test this weekend, and the guys are well aware of it. However, you know what? At times throughout the season, we've competed well against both teams, and we're hoping that it all comes together for us this weekend.
And the Giants haven't faced Cardiff, your Sunday opponents. They're a bit of a wounded animal right now. They went to sudden death penalty shots in the Continental Cup final, emptied the tank that weekend with 3-3, and then obviously came home empty-handed from Cardiff last weekend. Do you see the Giants' current position kind of having gone on a bit of a run of losses as an opportunity or a danger?
Well, a little bit of both. I mean, obviously, confidence is a big factor in ice hockey, and we would love to take advantage of that and push the game to them. But I'm very well aware of that group that Adam's put together there, and they're very formidable, and with some key additions that he's made to the lineup, the team is very deep, and obviously, I don't have to mention the skill level of the squad, because it's just apparent by looking at it. So, we have a talented bunch too. We have numerous guys that are capable of putting the puck in the net. And I also have the luxury of being able to rest an import tonight, something that I've never had in my coaching career, right, and something that, I'm learning the dynamics of and coming to terms with that. But it's a good way for me to create some positive competition in the lineup and apply some pressure to these guys to make sure that we're performing night in, night out.
And that sort of speaks to the depth of the Fife Flyers this year. I was looking at the points charts just before we spoke tonight, and there's quite a few Fife names down there. You seem to have that depth of scoring across every line. With that said, will it be in the back of your mind on Friday and Saturday that you need to keep something in the tank for a big showdown when you return home against the Cardiff Devils?
No, I think that we're going to take this weekend, as we approach all weekends, a game at a time. Our focus is on Friday. I'm not worried about leaving anything in the tank. Right. We're coming to Belfast with the intention of bringing points home. Uh-huh. And that'll be our goal starting out.
Well, listen, one thing's for sure. I have a feeling that we're in for another dramatic weekend. We wish you and your Flyers safe travels across the Irish Sea, Todd, and we look forward to two big tilts this weekend in Belfast. Thank you for your time.
Much appreciated. See you Friday.
Cheers to Dutes. Friday at 7, Saturday at 7, both at home against the Fife Flyers. Milton Keynes away, 5:15 p.m. At Planet Ice at MK. 3-3. The game in regards to the Clan we'll talk about next week, but says 3-3 against these teams, Fife especially, they're strong. It's going to be a battle.
It's always a battle, 3-3. You know, Adam uses the bench as much as possible this weekend, and again, hope the boys are well rested after the Cardiff results. And it's Fife again. Fife are a strange one. They can turn up on the night. They've got good goaltending again. They've got an extra import now as well, so they can rest somebody or depending on if they're injured or just a healthy scratch. So you know, guys want to play; they don't want to be sitting watching. Hockey players want to play hockey, so it's going to be tough this weekend. Two games against Fife at the SSE. We've had good form against them this season already, and to be honest, I'm expecting 4 points from those first two games.
And what about the third, Milton Keynes?
The Milton Keynes game, again, you know, I think I looked at it the other day, I think they have a two-day break. Mm-hmm. I think they play Thursday against the Clan, and then they go Friday and Saturday off in the playoffs on Sunday. It's, you know, they're sitting bottom of the table. We're 5-0 against them this season. And all that tells you is that it should be enough formality for us to win. That's not the case. When you're playing 3-3, and you know, you've got a team who've been sitting waiting on you coming into their own barn. It gives them a bit of motivation, especially when you've been 5-0 against them this season. We've had a couple of 2-1 games against them.
Have we?
You like that? We've had a couple of games.
I can't believe you teed that up.
It's a 2-1 game. We're playing great.
Yeah, they were playing great at that stage, and then they fell apart. But it's going to be a tough ask. But again, you know, I do think the boys have got enough to pull that out of the locker, because again, going down the stretch, hockey players want to play games. Training is like it's sometimes it gets in the way. So hopefully the boys, as I say, are all rested. Friday night's a big important one. Adam meant when I talked to him on Saturday night in the interview, he was saying that all the games are massive. Doesn't make a difference who you're playing. Every single game is massive, and it starts on Friday night at the SSE Arena against the Fife Flyers.
Divi, 3-3. I've been reading I think obviously when you come off the back of two losses, there's a little bit of discontent and people start to pick holes where they weren't picking holes when you were winning, but that's fine. That's the nature of the beast, especially on the back of a weekend like that. But one of the holes I've seen picked in the last couple of days especially are people showing discontent at the fact that we are playing so many 3-3s. There's nothing really can be done about that. It's a long season with a lot of hockey.
There's only so many Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays that you can play, especially look, Belfast have got business decisions to make as well about playing games on Sundays, and other away teams want to have their home games on Sundays, so we have to make ourselves available to go. You know, Sunday's the hockey day, if you like, mainly across the water, and you know, Friday and Saturday are our best days here, so you know what, you want to get as many of your games on those days as you can. And Simon's just talked about you'd rather be playing games than training, but you also run the risk then if you have a Wednesday game, if you have a Sunday game, a Wednesday game, and a Saturday, it disrupts the whole week. Yeah. You don't get training, or you don't get training at all. You need a rest day here, a rest day there, a travel day. You know, it's probably more disruptive. It's probably less disruptive in terms of travel and keeping the whole thing together in terms of being able to rest and train to have 3-3 than it is to have a 2-1 in a midweek, you know. But there's just X amount of games to play and X amount of nights, and it's just, you know, we've got 6 3-3s this season, two of them being Continental Cups, so, you know, four times this weekend. We knew to start what we had to do, and there's no point complaining about the schedule at the end of January when you've known what it is from July.
Very true. Those games for the Belfast Giants, as I said, Friday and Saturday night, both at 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena. If you can't get down to those, you can join Sizz on Giants TV. And on Sunday, 5:15 p.m. in Milton Keynes at Planet Ice. If you're not travelling over to that, they do have a webcast, and we'll link that up on at AVFTB and on Kingdom of the Giants, which will ramp up again in the next week or so. We've been very quiet in the last week. I think just taking a bit of a it's a long season for the players, no doubt, but trying to keep on top of sort of our being enthusiastic amateurs, we have to take a break from now and again. So yeah, we'll link those up on kingdomofthegiants.com. Any other business, boys?
Yeah, I have one, and you'll not hear me saying this too often, but I noticed that Gary Moran was in hospital.
He was.
And he got out today. So our thoughts and Gary Moran's been good to us regarding coming on the podcast. You know, I think we're the only podcast he speaks to. So, you know, thanks very much for coming on AVFTB. Gary, I hope you're keeping well and getting back to full health.
Here, here. Best wishes to Gary Moran. A good mate of yours, Davey.
I've sent them a little message from us, boys, just to pass along sort of our regards. And yes, we hope to see him back at the rink soon.
Anything from yourself, mate?
Yes, the only thing I have, Paddy, and I kind of talked to you a little bit about it when Sizz was away, so I don't know whether you heard this or not, but Rob McGregor put on earlier that the NIHL, which is the sort of
second tier
replacement of the EPL, mm-hmm. Is it second tier?
Well, it is the replacement. It always existed, but when the EPL left, then it became the second tier.
Well, anyway, the top scorers in the league are former EIHL players. One top scorer, Jason Hewitt of the Pirates, 24 games, 40 goals, 45 assists. So 85 points in 24 games.
Do they have goalies?
I'm not sure. I'm going to look up and see who the goalies are.
Didn't you see I come out of retirement there tonight, boys?
Well, I was going to get to that.
And in second place in league scoring with 8 plus 39 in 20 games is Max Boom Boom Bear.
Oh, bounty on his head.
A bounty on his head. But it gives you a perfect segue, Paddy, to tell us your Jason Hewitt story of old.
Well, it comes from the... It comes from the time of when, after games, we all went to the Hard Rock or Titanic or whatever. It had like 10 different names, didn't it? It was in there after a Sheffield Steelers game, and went to the little boys' room, and I'm standing having a wee, and this fella, just me and another fella, and the fella next to me said, did you enjoy the game? The game against Sheffield. I says, I did, yeah. I think we took the win. He says, he did. I did. He says, what do you think of Sheffield? And I said, I think you need to get rid of some of the dead weight. And he says, well, dead weight? Who do you mean? I says, well, guys like Jason Hewitt, I don't know what he does. He just sort of takes the puck, skates around a little bit, and, you know, gives up, goes to the bench and looks all smug, you know, as if he's done something when he's actually done nothing. And the fella just didn't say anything, nodded his head and said, okay. And zipped up and washed his hands. And my good friend Steeler Ian, I didn't know, was in the cubicle. And he came out absolutely wetting himself laughing. I says, what are you laughing at? He says, that was Jason Hewitt. So, yeah, making friends and influencing people as I normally do. But yes, Sizz, you mentioned it there, out of retirement. How'd it go?
I'll try to lose a few shillings out of my pockets, or sorry, pounds. It's going all right, but it just the boys are Jakey and Arsene and Roberto were on at me to come back up on Sunday night for a bit of crack. And I seen Jake over Christmas. And he just kept on, you know, actually, oh, come on, just put the skates on. Like, maybe just come out and referee or something and have a bit of crack. So, yeah, that's what I did. I went up on Sunday night. Went all right, actually. I lasted the hour and 15 minutes, which was pretty surprised about, to be honest. The legs have certainly not as quick as what they maybe were. Well, let's say quick and moved as quick as what they were. But I still pick out a pass. So I was happy enough the way turned up, out of gas at the end of the night. Thought I'd wake up on Monday morning, my legs would be absolute jelly. They actually weren't. They were okay. But today, they're definitely a lot worse. I'm feeling them today. So, but yeah, I'll be back up on Sunday night again.
I'm just checking the Dundee Stars website to see if they have a number 16 play for them. Otherwise, we'll give Pash a shout. I'm sure we can get you on the lineup. You know
thanks,
what I mean?
Mate. Give me another 3 or 4 years to try and get up to speed. But no, it's like it's always good crack, and yeah, I look forward to Sunday night again.
Davey, Simon Kitchen back on the ice.
It's like a dream come true for a 16-year-old from Dundonald somewhere, you know. somebody'll be getting off the Mission Hall bus one of these Saturdays on the way back from the Oval and dropping in and getting a new hero. And sure, it just reminds you of good times. The big lad had a bit of game back in the day, so I'm sure you never lose your hands. Never lose your hands.
No doubt.
If you've got a VHS video player, I can show you a couple.
Betamax.
I'm pretty sure
you've got Betamax, Paddy. Betamax.
Well, no, to give him credit where it's due. I'm pretty sure there's a video of one of your goals for Team Ireland that on the system at the Hockey Hall of Fame, because when you go right down to the back of the Hockey Hall of Fame, they've got the IIHF set up there,
yep,
and they've got this thing where you check the computer and it says you pull up, and it's got a whole load of goals. I'm 99% sure you've got a goal that's on there at the Hockey Hall of Fame. Man.
Yeah, I don't like busting and blowing about it, but it's there. Yeah,
yeah, number 16 back in ice. Good to hear it, mate. Good to hear it. Right. We're going to wrap it up there, I guess. Two games against the Fife Flyers, 7 p.m. on Friday and Saturday at the SSE, or watch them on Giants TV. And likewise on Sunday, Milton Keynes away, 5:15 p.m. on the Sunday. You can get that on Milton Keynes, and we'll link you up on at AVFTB. You can get us on Twitter at AVFTB, kingdomofthegiants.com, of course. You can get us on Facebook and various other bits and pieces. But on that note, Davey, Simon, thanks very much.
Thanks, boys.
Good night.
And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.